beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and he forgave the iniquity of my sin.
And he shall speak to them all that I word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. From the Gospel for this fourth Sunday in Advent, St. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 49. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." It was just about 9 months ago, to be specific, on March the 25th, that we celebrated the festival of the Annunciation of our Lord to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Nowadays, this festival is more or less ignored, but there was a time when this festival was kept as one of the great days of the Christian year. That great Lutheran musician, Johann Sebastian Bach, in fact composed several cantatas to be sung on that day. Yes, the Annunciation was once kept as one of the great festivals of the Christian year. And why is that so? The answer is this. On Christmas, we celebrate the Savior's birth. But on the festival of the Annunciation, we celebrate that awesome moment when the eternal Son of God took on him our humanity in the womb of the lowly maiden who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And it was with Mary's assent to the angel's message that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Lord, that God's eternal Son and Word became flesh in her womb. And then, for the next 9 months, this lowly maiden of Nazareth carried in her body the Father's eternal Son and Word, one of the Holy Trinity. No human being has ever been that intimately involved in the life of God. A great and mighty wonder, a mystery beyond understanding. And so, as Mary went about her daily tasks in her lowly home, cooking and cleaning and doing the wash and all those necessary tasks of daily life, she was in fact carrying the eternal God in her body. For pious Jews like Mary, the temple at Jerusalem was the place where God's presence was known. For 9 months, Mary herself was, in the most real sense, the living temple of God. Now, none of the gospel writers tell us a great deal about these 9 months between Jesus' conception in Nazareth and his birth in Bethlehem. But St. Luke does tell us, as we hear in the gospel for this day, that having received and accepted the angel's message, Mary quickly went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was the mother of Saint John the Baptist, who had been conceived in Elizabeth's womb 6 months before. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, she cried out, filled with the Holy Spirit, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment which was spoken to her from the Lord." Elizabeth twice acclaims Mary blessed, and then Mary herself exclaims, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations shall call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." At the Annunciation, the Archangel Gabriel acclaimed Mary blessed. Elizabeth twice acclaims her blessed. And Mary herself prophesies that all generations will call her blessed. And so it follows that in generation after generation, the Christian people have called her blessed. As we just sang in that lovely carol, "Then gentle Mary meekly bowed her head. To me be as it pleaseth God," she said. And Christian folk throughout the world shall ever say, "Most highly favored Lady Gloria." And Mary is the most highly favored lady, favored by God, who has done great things for her in making her the Virgin Mother of the Lord. Mary is truly a virgin, and Mary is truly a mother. Her child is truly God, and her child is truly man. Who is conceived in Mary's womb? God is conceived in Mary's womb. Whom does Mary carry in her womb? She carries God in her womb. To whom does Mary give birth? She gives birth to God. And that is why our Lutheran Church, in her confessions, has this to say: "We believe, teach, and confess that Mary conceived and bore not only a plain, ordinary, mere man, but the veritable Son of God. For this reason, she is rightly called and truly is the Mother of God." And Dr. Luther had this to say about the words of Mary, "For he who is mighty has done to me great things." Luther says, "She herself is unable to find a name for this work. All she can do is break out in the fervent cry, 'They are great things, impossible to describe or define.' Hence men have crowded all her glory into a single word, calling her the Mother of God. No one can say anything greater of her or to her. We had as many tongues as there are leaves on the trees, or grass in the field, or stars in the sky, or sand by the sea. It needs to be pondered in the heart what it means to be the Mother of God." So in these last days before Christmas comes, let us ponder this great mystery, the mystery of God become man, when by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus our Savior was conceived in Mary's womb. Mary, who for 9 long months was in the most real sense the living temple of God. You and I are, in another and no less real sense, living temples of God. Because God the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us at our baptism, and God the Holy Spirit continually preserves us in faith and hope in the one who is both Mary's child and the Lord and God of it all. By his conception and birth, by his baptism, fasting, and temptation, by his cross and passion, by his precious death and burial, by his glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he has saved us. And so with Blessed Mary we praise and worship our Savior, saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. O God, you make us glad with the yearly expectation of your coming. Grant that we who now joyfully receive you as our Redeemer may behold you without fear when you come to be our judge. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Look in mercy on your holy church throughout the world. Guard, govern, and keep it in concord and peace everywhere. And grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in your mercy, bless all bishops, pastors, and ministers of your word, especially Matthew, the chief pastor of our synod, John, the chief pastor of this district, the chaplains of the armed forces of our nation, and the missionaries of your grace at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy, graciously regard your servants, the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, the Congress and our legislature, our judges and magistrates, and all the rulers of the earth, and grant them wisdom and understanding that under their peaceable governance, your people may be guarded and directed in righteousness, quietness, and justice. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy upon the infirmities of all people. Deliver the world from error. Take away disease. Ward off famine. Set free those who are innocently imprisoned, especially those who are in suffering for your name's and for your truth's sake, and those who are prisoners of war. Grant a safe return to the wayfarers, health to the sick, especially to all those for whom our prayers are desired. Grant consolation to the bereaved and light to the erring. Lord, in your mercy, keep in the protection of your holy angels all who travel. Give to our loved ones your help and your favor, and a constant sense of your nearness and of your love. and to the enemies of your church, grant the grace of repentance unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We also remember before you, O Lord, your servants and handmaidens who have gone before us with the sign of faith and are now fallen asleep. Grant that we, together with them, may be partakers with Blessed Mary and all the saints in your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 357.